This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasuthi. It's Friday at 4 and Dr. George Lee is in the studio. It's our last show for the month of November. I mean, rest assured, he is here. He's here for the next 2 weeks, I think.
And absolutely.
Then you're disappearing.
No, not really. Not really. It's kind of the most
Christmas
part of...
Christmas and New Year.
No, most part of Christmas, well, just before Christmas, or I will be here every Friday, and then towards the end of the year, I think we need to kind of like plan out some light-hearted shows, just like today and that sort of thing. But you know, Meera, I just want to congratulate you. Today's show has been wonderful, awesome. It's like, you know, architecture curator. It's wonderful. And then when she sat here and she was just saying that she's just been in Malaysia for 2 days, and then she thought it's a rainy season, it's going to rain. And then it was sunny, and when I arrived, it just rained. I wonder what sort of like a... The sun just follows her.
You are jinxed.
Oh, yeah.
but just to talk about that in interview, I think when she said the issues in Japan and Malaysia are pretty much the same.
Exactly.
I think the issues all around the world.
It's some degree of consolations and also a lot of pride. You know, if we are comparable with Tokyo, I think we're doing something right.
We need to push boundaries, you know.
Absolutely.
Let's hope for the best.
You know, it's just like, you know, give and take. It's all about contemporary, preserving culture. I really thought you did an awfully wonderful, amazing job.
That was
an awesome job.
The Japanese lady.
That's right.
So today's show, we're going to leave it very fluid and open.
Absolutely.
So we're going to be depending on you to give us a call and ask Dr. George Lee any question you want in relation to men's health.
That's right.
I think a lot of men dare not ask doctors a lot of questions. We have a list here. But if there is a question that you have always wanted to ask and it's holding you back, just give us a call. Don't give us your name. Just
ask on behalf of your friend.
Exactly, right? Give us a call, 0377-109-1000. You can send us a text message on 016-201-9000 or just tweet BFM Radio. In fact, we've already got one question, George. But let's kick off with the men's health question first.
That's right. Well, actually, you know, how we go about doing this is because this year... For the whole month, BFN has been wonderful, giving the platform for men's health. And to kick off, the first week seems such a long time ago. 4 weeks ago, we have Professor Teo coming here from CARIF, obviously talking about prostate cancer and genetic basis of prostate cancer. I think that kind of like set the foundations about the importance of research. And the second week, obviously, we had the physical health of men's health,
yes.
Obviously. You know, we talk about fitness six-packs, and then, you know, building up good physiques and that sort of thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful job.
I think the takeaway from the fitness show was, you know, strength is extremely important.
Yeah.
Work on your strength.
Strength.
Before you actually go out and at 40 or 42, try and play badminton all over again, thinking that, you know, you did in the 20s. When you were 25.
Exactly. And to kind of know your limit and build up your stamina,
yes,
before you think that, you know, you have absolutely limitless kind of like physique.
Yes.
And then last week, we had a wonderful show about mental health of men's health.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, talking about how mental health is being compromised. And this week, it's open for all. It's completely free platforms. And then this generated from a BBC article. Basically, the article, it simply say, question men dare not ask a doctor. Isn't that amazing? Then, in fact, they compile all these things like, you know, they ask questions like, how can I stop myself from sweating on a date? You know, those are the things
basic as it can
get. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's quite sweet,
and
really.
But you know what, George? I'm just so afraid that a lot of the questions are going to be questions which, you know, can we ask on air?
You know what? If you're planning to do that, there are certain things called subtlety, right? Okay. So do bear in mind, this is a family show, you know. Even if you want to talk
I don't know how to break this down. There are questions coming in.
Oh, fantastic.
How?
You know. So we use words like intimacy, we use words barrier techniques, you know,
okay,
things like that. Subtleties, right. That's very important.
So I'm going to attempt the first one that's
okay.
come in, right? How do I maintain. Hardness. Longer,
all right. Okay. That's
it.
All
right. There you go.
That's all right. Okay.
Without calling a spade a spade.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, okay. Obviously, you know, 20 years ago, if we were having a discussion like this, we probably will go to jail for it, right? And then the culture has changed, and obviously a lot of barriers has come down. But yet we have to observe and also respect local sensitivity. And erection hardness, obviously, is some issues that some men worried about. However, we need to know certain things. How do you maintain that? There are two ways to look at it. Number one is what causes it in the first place. So let's say if somebody who actually is a bit compromised on that, it might be because of your lifestyle. The five things that is contributed towards this is smoking, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and also stressful lifestyle, and also depression perhaps. And all these are the issues that you really need to rectify first. So eat healthy, regular exercise, those are the things that are important to maintain a good sexual health parameters. However, for some people who has already got diabetes, for example, you previously have developed strokes, there is a theory actually proposed by a very famous professor from Italy called Montorsi. Actually, you know, if you look at the diameter of a penile artery, for example, compare that with the carotid arteries and the coronary artery, you realize that it is about a tenth of the diameter. So that artery is going to get blocked first before the artery of the heart gets blocked later. And then, in fact, there are so many studies that are actually emerging, highlighting that 57% of men who had a heart attack actually 3 years prior to that has been to their doctor and said, look, I'm a bit compromised now below. And then, so that's quite alarming. And the other thing that, something like 64% of men who had strokes before were also doing the same thing 3 years prior to that. So we really need to focus on that. It's a very important question. Need to reverse it, and to stay long, maybe the little pills might help. So that's another
question.
That is
it, but you need to be diagnosed.
You need to diagnose first.
We have Jeffrey on the line. Okay, Jeffrey's hung up.
All right.
He couldn't wait.
Okay, right.
Call us back, Jeffrey.
Premature hanging up, not too good. Right,
okay. Another one. See, George, it's all about down there.
No, so it's okay. It's all right, because that's the whole point.
How do you get rid of a wart at the base of the penis?
Oh, right. Okay. So okay. This is an infection of a virus, human papilloma virus that many, many people think.
Okay. So why don't you answer both together, right?
Sure.
So this is how do I get rid of the wart? But there's another question. My wife just found out that she has HPV. Does this mean that I will get genital warts?
Oh, that is a fantastic question, right? Okay. Because, obviously a lot of people will just say, the first thing that you read that question, you cringe, don't you? Right? Okay. But the thing is that it actually is related to extremely serious condition such as cervical cancer. So we need to look into it very, very carefully. If you actually look at the pattern of where the genital warts appeared on the genitalia, external genitalia itself, there's a unique pattern. For somebody who actually used barotechnic quite regularly, it's tactile. It's just like going to the gym and you don't wear your slippers and you get athlete's foot. Right. It's as easy as that. And then there are studies to show that first contact, sexual contact, already you may have contracted HPV. And there are about 130 strains of HPV. So the ones that actually may cause genital warts is the one that potentially may be one of the four that may result in cervical cancer. So the answer to the questions that, for both of them, is that how do you get rid of it? Once you get it, the virus actually stays in your body for good. So getting rid of it is not possible. Mm-hmm. But there are two things I would like to say. Number one, if you've got it, you need to protect your loved one. So protect your partner by encouraging her to actually get a vaccinations, because that will protect her from getting at least four strains of that. That's one important thing. Number two, also reduce on promiscuity, because that is proven to reduce the transmission rate. And now there are studies to show that even if men who already contracted the virus actually get the vaccination, there is a reduction rate of recurrence by about 40%. So those are important informations. But if despite doing all those things, you're still getting recurrence of genital wart, unfortunately, we either use a cryotherapy, we actually burned it with ice, or we actually use something called ablative therapy using a chemical called podophyllin, or we probably need to excise it and send for analysis.
But you use creams. What's the first line of treatment?
First line of treatment actually is just ablate it. So if somebody comes to see me, they've got this, I actually need to prove that this is not cancer first. Yeah. Because there's certain men, this may be cancer. So for those of you who think, Dr. George said it is something quite benign, hang on a minute, get it checked out. Because sometimes when it's too big, it's bigger than 1 centimeter, perhaps this might be something that might save your life.
What are the chances?
Well,
of it being cancer?
Well, it depends on certain things. Men who are not circumcised, you have much higher risk. Men who are smokers, who have much higher risk. And men who are a little bit unhygienic down below, you know, you are definitely at risk. So those chances are, although small, we're really talking about 1% to 2%.
Okay. Jeffrey, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
Hi, Dr. George and Mira, how are you guys?
Very well.
Well,
thank
we're
you.
Excited, as you can hear, right? Okay. Well, this is the first time we just opened the floors to all sorts of embarrassing questions that you might ask on behalf of your friend.
Not embarrassing.
Well, mine is, hate to say this, mine might not be so embarrassing.
Sure.
It's okay.
Very good.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
Thank you.
The first one is, what do you call that? Generally, for men, the libido starts to drop after what age?
Mm-hmm. Good
and
question.
My second question being, I'm 49 now.
Right.
And basically, I've been leading a sedentary lifestyle. But I've actually been encouraged to take up jogging and swimming and stuff like that.
Okay.
Any precautions that I should take? Health-wise, I'm okay. My BP is 120 over 80.
Wow.
Except that my blood sugar, cholesterol, everything is normal. The thing is, I like to eat sweet, oily, and spicy.
Are you overweight, Jeffrey?
I'm not. I'm actually very... I'm 5 feet 8, but I'm only 120 pounds.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Right.
So those are my questions. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Okay, so answer the second question first. Perhaps that's a good idea. You know, sedentary lifestyle and then, you know, like sweet food and things like that. Exercise, obviously, is very important. You probably need to go to the podcast to hear, how a 49-year-old should pace his life and that sort of thing. And then, indeed, you know, you eat food. And then Mira did a show to show that the actual sugar is probably more risky than cholesterol in many ways. You know, you said your blood pressure is 120 over 80. Luckily, you don't have Dr. Azani here. He will actually say, excuse me, you need to take some antihypertensive. There are certain definitions. The diastolic is a little bit, you know, on the high side. We really prefer it to be below 70. So obviously, you know, you watch your diet, you exercise. Sometimes it's essential hypertension. So there's nothing much you can do about it. And sometimes you really need to take the medication. So good question coming back about your libido might be flagging at the age of, you know, 49. That actually is expected. After all, we do grow old.
But what is the age range?
That's right.
Usually
okay.
Drops?
So in the modern society,
we all don't think that we could have erectile dysfunction.
No, well, this one is lack libido. You know, this one.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay.
So this has nothing to do with erectile dysfunction. You're just not interested at all. Full stop. Really.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether you get erection or not. So you know, for men actually above 40, you begin to see subtle changes. However, it becomes more pronounced after 55, and that is accepted when you actually look at the general population according to the aging men's score. However, obviously, if you're more at risk, for example, you've got high cholesterol, you have got truncal obesity, you eat more meat and then, you know, more fatty food of animal origin, your risk of getting low testosterone is much higher even at younger age. So if on top of that, you don't sleep well, you don't exercise, and on top of that, you also have a very stressful job, then you're more doomed than that. You probably will encounter problems like that much earlier, even around your 30s. The difficulties when you see a doctor is that you want a quick fix. You say, look, I don't want to give up my lifestyle because I want a quick fix. And then it is tempting for a doctor to give you testosterone. But that might be a big mistake because the testosterone might switch off your production of sperm. So at the 30s, you might become infertile. You know, not a good thing to do. And also the testosterone, you might be dependent on testosterone. So those are very important questions you need to ask yourself. So
get fit.
That's right. No choice. 49 years old, need to get fit. Go for those jogs. I think it's going to do you lots and lots of good.
Yeah, and you know, even if you're 20s, do it right now.
That's right. Okay, right, okay.
LTY, okay, oh. He's hung up on us as well.
Okay, because, I think I talked too much, didn't I?
It's all right.
Okay, I need to slow down a little
bit. We're opening up the phone lines, you know, the text messages. Send us any question you want. Is there a question that you've always wanted to ask your doctor, but you have always held back, especially a urologist.
Yeah.
We're talking about anything from hardness to longness to, you know,
are we really?
Whatever you feel like, you know,
right.
Send it through text 0162019000, or you can tweet to BFM Radio or give us a call. The number is 0377109000.
A vibration strikes the eardrum. A tingle. Brain recognizes signal. Heart races, lips part, agape for 3 seconds. It is the key of G minor. Acoustics are better heard when seen. Malaysian Philharmonic Orchestra, live. Choose 5 concerts for 20% off your total purchase. Concert schedule and details, visit mpo.com.my.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, step right up, step right up. Marvel at paranormal presentation skills. Gasp at communications that excite and thrill. Walk the tightrope of work-life balance. Discover the feats of time management talents. Come one, come all, and be enthralled. Life will never be the same once you've tuned in to raise your game.
Experience these mystifying acts of business development and be changed forever and raise your game. Every weekday at 11 a.m. only on Enterprise at BFM 89.9.
Boyish 40-something millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Sivasothi. Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio. We're concluding the month of November with, you know, free-for-all for any one of you to call up and ask us any question in relation to men's health.
So it's Movember open surgery.
You know, that question that you've always felt you wanted to ask your doctor but, you know, could never build up the courage to ask. You can send us a text message on 016-201-9000. You can give us a call on 03-77-10-9000. Robert, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Robert.
Good afternoon, Dr. Lee. Dr. George, I would like to know what is meant by a VDRL test. Is it a test for all sexually transmitted diseases?
Fantastic question. Thank you, Robert, for that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So VDRL essentially is venereal disease, you know, and then this is a test for syphilis. If you go for the normal health check, then the majority of people will actually just include VDRL in it. In fact, there are 3 tests that you will do beforehand. One is TPA. We look at the antibodies for the syphilis infection. The second one is the VDRL to see whether you actually have active infection or non-active infection. If your VDRL is positive and your TPHA is positive, it means that you actually have an active syphilis infection at that time. Of course, in reality, there are many, many conditions where they may be false positive. So don't be completely alarmed. Don't suddenly own up all your past mistakes to your partners, because previously we did a show and somebody who owned up and then eventually the second test turned out to be negative. So get it verified first. There are more sophisticated tests these days which are looking at the DNA of the syphilis, whether it exists in your body
or
not. Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
So there are 4 tiers. First tier is TPA, then VDRL, and then, you know, TPHA, and then the fourth one is DNA test. So it is a very serious infection if you have got it, and it is not all the sexually transmitted infection, because all of them, it would include HIV, obviously, and it would include herpes, it would include chlamydia and gonorrhea. So if it's positive, check your TPHA and then get it verified to confirm it. Thank you, Robert.
Hi, John. How are you?
Afternoon, John.
Good afternoon. You have a question?
Hi, I'm actually a doctor. I'm a houseman in one of the hospitals here, and it's regarding a very common question I get among young adults, which they're often concerned post-ejaculation. They get a sort of a burning sensation.
That's right.
And it's nothing, like, I mean, they got themselves checked out.
Absolutely.
We tried to rule out prostatitis as well, and, you know, it's very alarming. You know, I read some online sites, it's, you know, some suggest it could be dehydration, mm-hmm. it could be a deep-seated prostatitis, but no, there are no other signs that point to it. So I was just wondering, is this a common question, a occurrence among young men that, you know, who post-ejaculation, may it be post-sexual intercourse or masturbation?
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dr. John.
It's always great to have a colleague calling in, right?
I know,
okay,
right?
Verifying it. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. In fact, you're right. This is something called prostatitis. The symptom is very much like that. And prostatitis can occur in, like Dr. John was talking about, perhaps dehydration. Sometimes people believe that, you know, lack of emission, lack of ejaculation might actually induce that. Obviously, contractions of infection may induce that. And then that will give this spasmatic spasm, kind of like after emission, after ejaculation. And many people describe that. And when you actually culture the semen or culture the urine, you don't find anything, but it's very distinctive. The interesting thing is only happening in young people when they actually progress with sexual maturity, and then that diminishes. Some people believe that it is the contractions of the bladder neck, because the bladder neck needs to contract quite tremendously in order to expel. Some people actually believe that it is the blockage of the spermatic duct. Most of the time, we assure the patient. We actually do rectal examination to ensure that we're not dealing with anything serious like cancer. And most of the time, majority of these patients will actually get relief with something called alpha blocker. Alpha blocker is something that we give to patients whenever they have an enlarged prostate, and then that is a good thing to help them, and then eventually that will diminish with time.
But can you just not leave it?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it sounds like the bladder tract and all are not properly exercised because they're young.
No,
right?
Absolutely. So not quite reaching the maturity of a 45-year-old man. Right, okay. So because that will definitely disappear, you know, I assure you, after 25 it's probably all gone. You're absolutely right. Majority of patients, this is, you know, in their early sexual maturations, obviously have a lot of guilt conscience about the sort of activities they've been involved in, and then therefore they only want reassurance from doctor, and Dr. John is probably doing the right thing, send off some urine to ensure that there's no infection. Reassurance is the most important thing, because medicine may not always help.
Shirley, how are you?
Good afternoon, Shirley.
Shirley?
How are you? Hello, good evening.
Yeah, could you turn off the radio, please?
Yeah, turn it off.
Thank you.
Dr. Lee,
yes.
That for a young man who's sexually active, does he need to go for a regular checkup?
Mm-hmm. Okay. How young do you define young?
I'll hear your answer on the radio.
What do you mean by young, Shirley?
No, I mean a young man who's sexually active.
Okay.
Okay, it can range from 20 to 40, 45.
In 20 to 50. Time, it can start at 14, actually.
Oh, okay.
I'll listen to his answer on the radio.
Sure. Thank you, Shirley.
Thank you. Okay.
Fantastic, questions. And then essentially there are three reasons why I would ask people to check up. Number one is that if somebody is promiscuous and then actually be naughty, and then so, you know, if someone who is sexually active really should have regular checkup for two counts. Number one, to avoid sexually transmitted infection. Number two, to ensure that external genitalia hasn't got warts or anything like that, because some of those may be cancerous and it obviously is dangerous to do that. The second checkup that one would do is before they engage in, you know, marriage, and they want to check their fertility. For those, checkup is absolutely crucial. The third group, obviously, are those who worry about cancer. In fact, there's no correlations between cancer and frequency of ejaculation or sexual activeness. So the interesting thing about cancer is that if you have got family history of cancer, we talked about the first program about BRCA genes, if you've got family history of paternal cancer or maternal breast cancer, really probably get it checked out, like your PSA blood test, simple test to do. And then, you know, it's irrespective of your sexual activeness, get it checked out, because it's a simple test to do.
But just in relation to that, there's another question here. We do health checkups annually, right? Men and women. But women always go in the teenage years and to get themselves checked out, to check if everything is all right as far as the reproductive organs and stuff is all in order. How often then should we get our genitals checked is the question.
Right, fantastic question again.
Because you're only saying, you know, when they become sexually active. I mean, wait for that?
In fact, genital checkout, you know, for a young girl, it started from young age of, you know, even before menarche, before actual started off the period. And for boys, it's just like, you know, it's a no-go area that nobody ever sees, you know, never see the sunlight.
Why is that?
Well, it's just cultural. You know, it's like when I have patients coming to my clinic, and then when I pull down the trousers, the first thing they looked at me and said, I have nothing wrong down there. I said, that's what I'm trying to ensure, there's nothing wrong down there, because that's my job. It's interesting, isn't it? And then for a girl, so before you ask them to remove their underpants, they already are ready for examination. It is cultural. And then, you know, the more the doctors who take that. And then the interesting thing is that increasingly we have more female doctors, obviously, because there are more ladies doctors going to medical school. And men are more embarrassed, feeling that, look, I have nothing worrisome down there. But the thing is that it's not for you to determine that. It's your doctor to decide that. So there are things that can be lumps and bumps, simple things like hernia, hydrocele in the testicle. Get that checked out. It takes about 30 seconds. Not every doctor wants to stick the finger up the bottom. So it's just a quick examination on external genitals. Very important, especially young men, because we want to rule out testicular cancer. If you're too embarrassed about it, get yourself checked out, because there are, you know, ways for you to examine yourself to ensure that there's no lumps and bumps of painless nature. I said painless because if, when it's painful, usually it's an infection. Painless, we worry about cancer. It's cancer until proven otherwise.
Okay. All right. We have Kumar. Kumar, how are you?
Kumar, good afternoon.
Lost okay, Kumar. Right. We've got a ton of calls, actually. Jack, how are you, Jack? Are you
Hi,
still
good
there?
Afternoon, Jack.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good yeah. afternoon.
Yeah, it's very, very important question to me. I have two young friends who are suffering from PE.
Right.
So it is actually a very common thing for these young people.
Absolutely.
I don't know why. And then especially when they are about to get married or they have been married.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cannot function at all. Maybe due to anxiety, due to depression. But the funny thing is they always go and see a doctor. And then the doctor prescribe those
medications,
you know, funny jelly.
That's
for
right.
them to
apply on the external genitalia.
That's right. Then they don't get any feeling at all. But still, that
right.
doesn't help.
Absolutely,
that doesn't help at all.
Yeah.
And then now recently, they also come up with another
medication,
type of pill,
right?
That's another yeah. pill for you that they can delay your ejaculation. But they are all not effective.
Sure.
But they have been selling very well. That's why I don't know how to advise them at
Fantastic.
All.
Fantastic, Jack.
Lovely, Jack.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Please help. There are thousands of youngsters who suffer from this.
You clearly feel very passionate about this.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, that's premature ejaculation.
That's correct, yeah. Only sometimes people occasionally call it early ejaculatory disorders, and there are many, many names. Essentially, you know, Jack is right that number one, actually, you know, a lot of people think it's anxiety. In fact, in 1950s, you know, when you have a Kinsey Institute, you have somebody called Masters and Johnsons, they are sexologists in the 50s, studied this. Actually, this disease dated back way, 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 you know, beforehand. In 1887, it was first medical literature about this. You know, for many, many years, we blame it of anxiety. It's neurosis, because the theory to actually describe neurosis that's causing it. In reality, it's not neurosis, because we begin to realize that there's certain neurotransmitter in your brain that actually is deficient. As a result of that, the threshold of reaching stimulations of the ejaculatory kind of a threshold is actually lowered. So there are many, many studies in order to see whether we can push that up or not. The common drug that Jack kind of like a highlighted is something called, SSRI, short-acting SSRI. You know, SSRI, for those of you who are probably familiar with it, actually is a group of medication for antidepressant. But short-acting is supposed to act on that. Certain people may benefit from it, certain may not. It's not 100% effective, but all patients want a cure. However, it's treatable, it's not curable. There are also ways to reduce sensitivity in external genitalia, like using SS cream. That is just like minyak angin, really, just down there. It's okay. So it causes a lot of kind of like a, you know, displeasure for a lot of people. And many people don't like that, you know. And therefore, it is a difficult situation to treat. It needs a long-term, engagement with your doctor.
So it's a chemical imbalance in the brain?
Absolutely. There are proven by two things. There is an animal model that showed that, and also there is a twin study in Finland that actually demonstrated that the genetic basis of early ejaculatory disorder.
Can you not fix the chemical imbalance?
Well, that's what the medicine is trying
SSRI.
To do. However, there are four chemicals that actually are like a war zone in the brain, stimulating, inhibiting. So you have adrenaline, noradrenaline, that actually is stimulating. You have the 5-HT, serotonin, and dopamine that is inhibiting. So it's this war zone. And then we can never strike that balance of how nature intended, and therefore we are manipulating all the chemicals in order to enhance the threshold. And we are obviously are very encouraged by certain findings. However, at the moment, it's work in progress.
So it's medication then?
It's a medication, and at the moment we really can't find cure for it, but we begin to understand a lot more about complexity of human brain when it comes to sexual dysfunction.
Okay, so it's about managing the condition
Absolutely.
More than anything else.
So therefore,
that must be quite difficult.
It is very difficult because many, many people actually suffer from this condition from the word go, because from the moment that actually started sexual maturity, they begin to have this problem. It's just like how Jack described it, you know, because majority of these men won't talk about it.
And are they all young, most of them?
They are, because from the moment they engage in sexual activity, they begin to have this problem. So, you know, issues like this only brought up in in the staff room, in changing room, in the sports arena, in the gym, because you know, in the bar, in the pub, in a cafe, in kopitiam, that's how boys talk to each other. And that's when, you know, Jack kind of pick up that his friends suffer from this condition, and then work out the ways that see how we can actually help them to do that.
What if psychologically you start to, you know, practice, I don't know, be more zen,
you think of other things, yeah,
meditate, well, you know, could it be stress?
Absolutely, definitely. There are many, many, anxiety disorder may induce that. However, the anxiety, you know, in the 50s, has been already described that, you know, this kind of distraction therapy, just think of something else, you know, while you are engaging in sexual activity. And majority of time, that is efficacy is very short-lived, and then many, many people find it very cumbersome to engage in.
Okay, one question before we go into a quick market update. Are random erections without stimulation normal?
Well, it's normal when you're young. When you're my age, it's not normal anymore, and you're kind of missing it, because at the end of the day, for example, at night when men are experiencing REM sleep, and then the perfusions to the rest of the body, you know, the vessels are dilated in order to help perfuse it, and part of the perfusions to the one body is actually external genitalia. It's very normal. It just shows that your body is functionally well, physiological intact.
Okay, that's good news, George.
It is good news.
For
it is
once
good news.
You didn't use the cancer word.
Right.
I hope you didn't scare everyone.
No. It's very good. It makes, you know, that is really showing that all the parameters are functioning well. So
fantastic.
Congratulations.
Okay, Richard, your question.
Good afternoon, Richard.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. and Maria.
Good afternoon.
Mira,
sorry.
That's all right. Don't worry. Go for it.
You
your
can
question.
See her smiling.
I overheard you in the radio saying that the high cholesterol food is not good for whatever out there.
Yes.
But then again, we all know that good food like chocolate, lamb, sotong, udang, and stuff like that does somehow promote the
aphrodisiac.
The
is what you, yeah.
So how does that jive with the theory?
Okay, right.
That's a good one.
Well, it looks like, you know, those food get you too heaty.
Thank you very much, Richard. Thank you.
Well, yeah.
He has a point.
He
has
a point,
talk
right?
about
okay.
lobsters and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the oysters and the lobsters and the abalone. Well, Richard, put it this way. When you're young, all these will actually heighten your sexual pleasure. However, constant abuse of that actually will actually make sure that in for long term, you're not really going for home run. So, don't abuse it in moderation. I think that's a way forward.
Moderation, always the key. So we're going to come back and continue this discussion. If you have a question for Dr. George Lee, anything you want to ask him in relation to men's health, that question that you always wanted to ask and never got a chance to doing it, do it now, 0377-109000, tweet BFM Radio or text 0162019000.
It's the latest smartphone, sir.
But look at the price.
Worried about the cost?
Yes.
Want an affordable solution with no lump sum payment up front?
Yes.
Then choose to settle your purchase with CIMB Bank's 0% Easy Pay, an interest-free installment payment plan for CIMB Bank credit card members. And you can also stand a chance to win the grand prize of a new Mazda 3. Offer valid till 31st December.
With CIMB Bank's 0% Easy Pay?
Exactly. Visit www.cimbbank.com.my for details. Terms and conditions apply.
Tuan Tuan dan Puan Puan, and now for one of the best things to come out of the ideas marketplace. Rent a cow. It's a great business solution. People are interested in urban farming, but it's a big commitment. If you don't wish to be stuck with a herd of cows that you don't want, rent a cow.
5,000. 10,000. 100,000.
100,000 ringgit calling once. 100,000 ringgit calling twice. Sold! Next, an idea that's equally as great. Sewa Lembu!
Don't have a cow or follow the herd.
Be original. Get inspiration from Open for Business, 10 a.m., Mondays to Fridays, only on Enterprise.
Build financial mountains. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. Here are the latest updates from Bursa Malaysia. The FBM KLCI is currently down 0.5% at 1,820 points, dragged down by losses in petroleum-related stocks. Meanwhile, Asian markets were mixed following weak economic data and slumping oil prices. So far, over 1.2 billion shares have changed hands worth more than 1.1 billion ringgit. The five most active counters are Sona Petroleum Warrants, Sapura Kencana Petroleum, Sumatech, Bumi Armada and Malayan United Industries. Meanwhile, the top gainers are Carlsberg, United Plantation, Petronas Gas, Dutch Lady and Far East Holdings. And decliners are led by Petronas Dagangan, UMW Oil and Gas, Sapura Kencana Petroleum, Coastal Contracts and Uzma Holdings. We'll have more in our next news update at the top of the hour. I'm Lee Chui Lin for BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, and if you've just joined us, welcome. It is The Bigger Picture, and I'm Mira Sivasodhi, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with us.
Who brought the rain.
Yes, definitely. It's pouring cats and dogs outside. If you're on the road, you know, watch that car in front of you. We've opened up our phone lines and text messages to anything that you want to ask Dr. George Lee in relation to men's health. We're concluding the month of November.
I know.
With this very free flow sort
that's
of...
That's right. And it's been awfully exciting.
It's been great because I didn't have to do any homework.
That's right.
Had to do all the work. So we have Steve on the line. Steve? Okay, Steve has hung up. I think he's been waiting quite a long time. Kumar, your question?
Kumar, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
I just want to ask you, let's say, the person is only 65 years old and the wife is not that active enough in the sex life.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to the person in the end? Actually, he's not able to ejaculate when he's supposed to do.
Yes.
Then how does this person goes wrong?
Of course. Okay. What a great question.
Thank you very much, Kumar. Yeah. Thank you.
So perhaps we would just try that, tie that in together in another question that we got on SMS to actually say, after a vasectomy, you know, what happened to my sperm, really?
That's right.
You know, effectively, this is what you know we're talking about. So, you know, okay, of course, you know, there are not always just because of partners' disparity when it comes to sexual desire. Of course, some people choose to actually live a single life. Some people choose to be abstinent. And everybody actually have a bodily function to eliminate excess amount of anything, really. So if your body is producing excess sperm that is not being used, and in fact that actually will diminish, you know, so it can come out in two forms. It can either be absorbed by your body in a form of protein, or it can actually be you know, emitted in one way or another. If your testosterone is high enough, that can actually come in a form of nocturnal emissions or wet dreams. So those are the issues that actually will come up. So thank you, Kumar, for that wonderful question.
Okay, Steve, your question.
Steve, good afternoon. Sorry to keep you so long.
Good afternoon, Doc, and good afternoon, Mira.
Good afternoon.
I just want to check if can people with STD, I mean a sexual transmitted disease, donate blood to their family member, you know, just in case there's an accident. Except for HIV and AIDS, I know the
of course.
Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what about people, you know, people with herpes or syphilis or, you know, gonorrhea, something like that.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
you know?
Steve.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So, you know, if I actually divide sexually transmitted into virus and also non-virus, okay? So non-virus, you are actually looking at, bacteria, commonly gonorrhea and chlamydia. So once that's treated, that goes without a trace. So you can't even find out whether somebody has actually been infected before. HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, actually patients are screened for that before they are
allowed to donate blood.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, take the blood first, and then if there's a problem, we repeated it and then actually tell you that you have got this. Are you aware of that? And then so the blood is definitely usable. For syphilis, many countries actually stop the, you know, for that being transfused, even though that is no longer in the bloodstream, but many, many countries actually still use it. So syphilis actually is not so important. If you are TPHA is positive, your VDRL, we talked about that earlier, is negative, that means that you're in the past has had experience of syphilis infection and you're negative for infection, I really don't see any problems of that blood actually being used.
Question via SMS. I have had a fungal infection in my groin area since I was a teenager. I only realized I had this after getting married. How do I get rid of the infection permanently? I have taken medication, but it has never cleared up. Is circumcision okay for a 40-year-old?
Okay, that question gets asked every single time. Okay, fungal infection usually occurs around the groin. It's awfully itchy, and then, you know, you can use creams such as ketoconazole cream. You take the medication for antifungal. Very effective, however, temporarily. Many men actually will have the problems recurring. And then so the right thing to do is keep yourself, hygienically well. However, sometimes that might not help. So repeatedly using applications of those topical creams will be useful. When it comes to circumcision, 40-year-old circumcision actually is quite commonly done. It's done for people who actually have problems with tightness. There's a condition called BXO, balanitis xerotica obliterans. Essentially, it is just scarring of the foreskin to the extent that you can't even retract it to clean it. And then therefore, those patients really need to have it done because it's sometimes with long-term leaving it unclean, it will develop carcinoma in situ. So I'm sorry to mention the C word again. I'm not meaning to scare you. However, really hygiene is a key issue. And then uncircumcised men, obviously, is more at risk.
What's wrong with you boys? Don't you keep yourself clean? Jack, your question.
Good afternoon.
Hello,
Jack.
Sorry. Yeah. Dr. Josh, actually, yes. I'm one of your admirers.
Oh, that's very
actually,
kind.
I would like to... can you truly help? You think yoga, meditation for all these youngsters?
Sure.
That's right.
Yoga, meditation, or control your mind. Like they say, you think of the Himalaya mountain where it's very cool there, then you keep your mind. You won't be, you know...
Yes.
Okay. Intimidated by something in front of you, you think of the cold weather.
Thank you very much, Jack.
I'll answer
Jack,
that question
about PE just now.
So actually, you're right. There are in the 50s and 60s, there are lots and lots of studies to actually look at distraction, thinking of the Himalaya, yoga, and then, you know, a lot of psychological analysis about your childhood upbringing. All those certainly would help, but it needs to be integrated in a multidisciplinary manner in order to help the patient in totality.
Okay. Another question, doctor, after ejaculation, my body feels absolutely tired, even on the following day.
Oh.
Anything to overcome this?
Okay,
wow.
Okay. Actually, that's not so, many people say that because, you know, in many culture that is perceived as something that it's will drain your energy. And then some people even to the extent that, you know, too much energy being drained, it might actually lead to death or certain things like that. Sometimes it may just be in the mind because after, ejaculations, and then usually the brain will release the endorphin, and then that actually relaxes you. Sometimes too much relaxation, you feel like you're tired, but majority of that is the guilt that actually make you feel quite tired. And then so therefore, don't worry too much about it because it is not pathological.
Okay, can you explain, never mind, we'll skip that question.
Yeah,
we only have 2 minutes
okay,
left.
Okay, right, okay. Enlarged prostate lead to cancer if untreated?
Yes.
Very good question. You know, many men have, you know, wake up at night worrying that they might actually have enlarged prostate, and then when they're told about BPH, they worry that this might be cancer. There is no scientific evidence to actually an enlarged prostate to turn cancerous. So don't worry too much about that.
We have one question here. My wife is having trouble getting pregnant. Could my sperm be the problem?
Oh, definitely. Well,
could.
Definitely should get that checked up because actually it takes two to tango, or doesn't it? So what you need to do is ensure that you don't fall into that 25% of male factor infertility, because actually half of them obviously is female factor, but the women are not shouldering everything, and a quarter of them are combined male and female. So technically 37.5% of men issues are responsible for infertility. So get rid of those tight underpants and get rid of saunas and get yourself checked out and then eat healthily and exercise regularly.
Okay, I hate going to the doctors, but my wife is always pushing me to go. Any advice?
It's okay. Listen to your wife.
Isn't that what we've been talking about for a whole month?
That's right. Okay. Right. Well, if your mother is not actually pushing you, then your wife has to do that. So if somebody needs to do that, just go along anyway. So, you know, you never know. You might discover yourself, about yourself a lot. lot more. So seriously, you know, it's not a bad idea to let a woman just nudge us a little bit to say, you know what, forget about your ego. I love you equally, regardless. You know, I think that's the way that women kind of mesmerize and tempt you to go to doctors.
Really? When was the last time you went to the doctor, George?
I am a doctor myself. The last time I went to the doctor was a long time
ago. You're too close to the problem, really.
I know. Well, therefore, I don't get Dr. Azani here because, you know, I'm too scared of him telling me about my LDL, my H, you know, HDL and so on and so forth.
Your message this Movember.
It's been a wonderful journey. It's been, you know, liberating that I, you know, I grew this awful, awful goatee that everyone looked at it and said, look, that makes you age 50 years. However, it's been great because people ask you, why do you do that? You mentioned about Movember and people start saying, what is it all about? And then you say, this for men's health. And then they say, really, it's an issue. And then you start highlighting that the discrepancy between men and females, treatment-seeking behavior, life expectancy, so on and so forth. You realize that a lot of focus actually is not on embarrassing issues such as STD, enlarged prostate, waking up at night too much to pass urine, lumps and bumps down below. And those are the bodily function or bodily dysfunction. Majority, I'm glad to say, only need reassurance from your doctor. But if you don't go and see a doctor, we can never assure you whether it is normal or not normal. And that will create enormous amount of anxiety in your brain because you clearly will be worrying about it every time you dress yourself, undress yourself, and therefore that is a worrying part of that. So I can kiss goodbye to Movember, November for another year. I cannot wait to go on Sunday to shave away my face because I'm having this allergic reaction to my own face that I'm growing pimples like a 15-year-old boy. So next time you see me, you've got lots and lots of pimples. Don't ask about the pimples, you know, because it is just a tragic that, you know, for somebody who cannot grow beard. Early on, it took me ages to grow it. Once I grow it, I actually get this awful, awful pimples.
All for a good cause, John.
All for a good cause. And I raised $3,000.
Fantastic. Right? Wonderful.
Like, you know, all for men's health. And thank you, BFM. Thank you, Mira, for the bigger picture, for giving men that platform. And, you know, we really cannot do it without you.
Coming up, it is the day in the life of a Sunway Medical Center doctor. And it's very interesting. Dr. Shailendra is an ENT surgeon. And Lee Twillin actually went and sat through a cochlear implant operation. And that little 5-minute documentary is coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.